get your tennis. The fact that you come here to worship God and to edify and build up one another, it says a lot. We see so many people here this morning. Appreciate you being here. Have you ever known anyone in your life that was just a pain? I mean, when you see this person coming, you're thinking, here comes trouble. They don't purposely try to be troublesome. It's just that trouble follows them around. They bother you to the point that you just want them to go away. Today I'd like to introduce you to a man who is a pain, or as the Bible says, is a pain. His very name is pain. He caused a lot of pain to someone, and they didn't ever want to forget what he had done unto them. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're introduced to a man named Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it's detailing the descendants of a man named Judah. Judah was one of the 12 sons of a man named Jacob or Israel. This man was very prominent in biblical history. We have references throughout the whole Bible of this man Judah and Israel and his father. And a long list of Judah's descendants here we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. But I want to invite your attention to verses 9 and 10. And we're going to be introduced to a man here. 1 Chronicles 4, beginning verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him his request. Jabez must have been something special to God. I mean, he's listed in two verses. Everyone else only got one verse, or maybe even a part of a verse. But Jabez was given two verses this morning. I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture and see what can we learn from this man, for the brief mention of this man, Jabez. What can we learn from him in these two verses? First of all, Jabez, his name is Jabez, and it was translated pain. If you have a little reference in your Bible, center reference or some reference, if you'll notice the word Jabez, if you go over to that, it says it's translated pain or suffering. We see here that he brought much pain to his mother in childbirth that she gave him this name in verse 9. How'd you like to be named Pain? Usually in childbirth, there is a certain amount of pain associated with giving birth. It's been that way since the very beginning of time. It's not something new. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, we see that it's a consequence of Eve's sin in the garden. And this consequence was given to all women of all time, that they would have pain in childbirth. And so it continues even today. Some is painful and some is not so bad. But there is usually associated some kind of pain with childbirth. But usually mothers forget about this pain. Just after that they've suffered after giving birth. When they see that child, that cute, adorable child that has come out of their womb, they forget about all the pain now, and all they feel now is love. This was not so in the birth of Jabez. His mother remembered the pain. She didn't forget about it. It must have hurt so bad that she couldn't forget it. She named this child Jabez, or Pain. His own mother burdened him his whole life with this name. All the taunts. Oh, here comes pain. Did you see what pain did? Did you hear what pain said? Did you see what happened to pain today? He would suffer his whole life because of his name that his mother gave him. A terrible name to be given a child. To be known as pain all his life. It'd be hard to deal with as a child and even as an adult. But this is not the reason that we're remembering this man, Jabez, today. It's not because we want to laugh and ridicule about how silly his name is. There's more to the story of Jabez than that. Significantly more than just his name. We're going to look at this man this morning that I'm sure has been ridiculed all of his life. and to see what became of this man. What can we learn about Jabez? He evidently didn't hide and sulk because of how the people treated him. He did not cower to their taunts. He became quite a remarkable man, despite the name that he carried. How do I know? Because let's look at the scriptures, these two verses, and see what we can learn from this. First of all, we learn that he was an honorable man, a respectable man. People gave him respect and honor. They looked up to him. He says in verse 9 that he was more honorable than his brethren. Despite the name given him, he became a respectable man in society. He made a name for himself, so to speak. He overcame his difficulties and made something respectable of his life. Now, he could have pitied himself all of his life and said, I'm never going to mount anything with this name, so why even bother and try? But he didn't think like that. He could have just dwelt on how evil his mother was to give him this name. How could a mother give a child this name? Burden him all of his life. What kind of mother would do such a thing? Of all the mothers I could have had, I got this one, this evil woman. No, he didn't do that either. This name could have made him hard and cruel. Instead of ignoring the cruel taunts and all the things that the people said to him, he could have turned to fighting, cursing them, being mean and evil to them. But he didn't do that either. He could have been bitter towards God. God, why did you give me this evil mother? What did I do to deserve this? And he could have turned away from serving God, but he didn't do that either. This is what many people do in situations like this. They're born into bad circumstances. They become hard and cruel and bitter, and they pity themselves and just give up. This is the way I am, and thinking that nothing is going to change this. But your life doesn't have to be like this. Because the Bible talks about many people that turned from bad circumstances and made something good of their lives. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is talking about who's going to be saved and who's not. What's it going to take to enter into the kingdom of heaven? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice in verses 9 and 10. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. These evil, wicked people, Paul says, they won't enter into the kingdom of God if they continue in this their whole lives. Then read verse 11. And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Some of these brethren were evil at one time. They were fornicators. They were idolaters. They worshipped anything that came along. They were homosexuals. They were thieves. They were drunkards. Said that they changed in verse 11. They were on their way to hell to eternal punishment. But they turned from that evil behavior and turned to the Lord. And they became disciples of his. They made something good of their lives. They bettered themselves. Now they're recognized by God as someone good and righteous. They were not satisfied with just being the bad person that they were. They wanted something better for themselves, and they found it in Jesus Christ. Became a follower of his. They changed their lives for the better. Remember the Apostle Paul as he recounts his wicked past in Philippians chapter 3. And he was a wicked man. He's talking about the resurrection of the dead, obtaining the resurrection of the dead, and Paul wanted that more than anything else in life. He was striving for to obtain the resurrection of the dead. And he wasn't going to allow his past to hold him back. It would keep him from obtaining this eternal life. He had a horrible past. He was persecuting the church. He put Christians in prison. He stood and watched them as they stoned them to death. His past was an ugly one. But notice this would not keep Paul from receiving his reward in heaven. Notice in verses 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, I press on to the mark for the prize of the Brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended this, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said he put his past behind him. He repented and turned from it. And he started to serve God. And he says, I wasn't going to let this hold me back. He was pressing forward, reaching for the prize of the high calling of God. The prize, the reward, eternal life with the God of heaven. He would not let this evil, wicked past rob him of this reward. He put it aside. He became a better man for it. And Jabez did the same. He became an honorable man. Well, what are some qualities of an honorable man? What do we look at? Someone says just, he's an honorable man. Well, what does that mean? What kind of life did Jabez live? We see here in verse 10 that he was a man of prayer. He prayed to God. He knew what prayer was and the benefits of praying to God. He knew what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He knew the importance of prayer. He knew what prayer would do in his life, and he prayed to God. He knew, he understood what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, when he's talking about this parable of the persistent widow. She kept bugging the judge, and finally the judge gave in and gave her what she wanted. But Jesus, as he introduced this parable, notice the reason why he told this parable in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the preamble to this parable, so to speak. He says in Luke 18 and verse 1, and he spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. And Jabez understood the principle that Jesus was teaching here. And he prayed to God. Jabez understood what Paul meant when he wrote to the Thessalonian brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and Paul says to pray without ceasing. Jabez was an honorable man. He was a man of prayer. Not only that, but he was upright with men. With his dealings with men, he was honored by them. They respected Jabez. He was like the man Peter described in 2 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Peter talks about, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that whereas when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Jabez has his life honorable before these Gentiles, before the world. He was an honorable man before those that knew him. The people that knew Jabez respected him and gave him honor he deserved. He was worthy of their praise. He was a respectable man. Not only that, he had a deep respect for God and a fear for God. He feared him. You remember Solomon? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he's examining what's life all about. But why are we doing the things that we do? Why do we do that? And he searched everywhere to find out what the best thing was for life, or to have a happy life. And it all boiled down to this. He tried riches, he tried fame, he tried all these different things. And it all boiled down to this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, as he concluded his findings, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Jabez had a respect for God, a fear for God, as we see here. The evidence of that? How do we know God? Jabez respected God? In verse 10, he says he prayed to God, and he expected God to grant his request. He prayed to God that God would bless him. He prayed to God that God would enlarge his property. He prayed to God that he would keep him from evil. He prayed to God that God would help them to no longer cause pain. And we see here God answered his prayer. He prayed by faith. He knew God could grant all that he asked of him. It wasn't wishful thinking. It was a prayer of faith. He knew God could do all these things. He had confidence in God. He feared God. He respected God that much. Also, we see another quality of a righteous man. We see here that he, or an honorable man, that he was righteous before God. He was right in the eyes of God. He was doing things that pleased God. Well, how do I know that? Because in James chapter 5 and verse 16, James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. A lot of things happen as a result of Jabez's prayer. Good things. Jabez was a righteous man, and God answered his prayers. A very honorable man indeed. But now let's examine Jabez's prayer a little bit more. Let's look at it a little more closely and see what actually was going on here. Number one, he asked God to bless him. This is a personal thing. He said, bless me, not bless all, bless us all, but bless me, God. It's a common request that people make when they pray to God. They ask for God's blessings. We understand. As Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, he writes, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Jabez understood God is powerful. He can do the things that I'm requesting of him to do. And he's asking God to bless him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, he wrote to them in chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. What blessings lie ahead for the children of God, even today? God is prepared to bless us in ways that we don't even know. We cannot even imagine some of the ways God is going to bless us. And we pray to God for his blessings upon us. James wrote in James chapter 4 that if we are not receiving the blessings of God, maybe it's because we're not asking. Jabez asked God, and God blessed him. Secondly, he asked God to enlarge his borders. I want more property, God. Seems kind of greedy, does it not? God, I want more land. But it may not be like that at all, what we're thinking. In Exodus chapter 34, God was telling the children of Israel as they came into the land of Canaan that he would drive out the inhabitants of the land and that he would enlarge their borders in verse 24. Is this all that Jabez was wanting? Maybe some land had been taken away from him and he wants it back? Or maybe he's asking God for more land so he can do more good and to be a benefit to others. He can grow more food to help the needy. Maybe he could have more land that he could keep more animals and he could use those animals to help those that need it, donkeys to carry their burdens, things like that. Could it be that maybe he wanted a little more land so he could make life a little more easier for others? He's not asking to satisfy his own selfish desires. Remember, he is an honorable man and a righteous man before God. So he asked God to enlarge his borders. He also asked God for God's hand to be upon him. In a good sense. A lot of times when we see in the scriptures that God's hand was upon somebody, it was usually in an evil way. But here he's asking God his hand be upon him in a good way. In the way that Ezra, the prophet, talked about having God's hand being upon him. Remember in Ezra chapter 7, Ezra was on his way from Babylon to the city of Jerusalem to help rebuild the temple of God. It was a long journey. It was going to take 5 months. It was going to be taken through some land where robbers could easily have taken advantage of them, some hard lands and flown through the mountains and things. Ezra recalls this journey. He says in Ezra chapter 7, verse 9, he says, on the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. God protected and guided Ezra to the city of Babylon, to the city of Jerusalem. It was a long journey, 5 months' journey through the deserts. and all kinds of dangers that are out there. But Erza said, my God protected me and guided me to where I needed to go. I believe that's what Jabez was asking God as well. Guide me and protect me, God, from things that I may face in my life. He wanted God's hand upon him in a good way. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so Jabez did. He prayed to God for his help. And also, he asked in Jabez's prayer, he asked God to keep him from evil, so it won't hurt me. God, make the temptations that I may have to face, may they not be too strong or too many. Keep me from the evil influences, people of the world. Help me to choose my friends wisely. See the dangers, that I might see the dangers to my soul before it happens. God, keep me from evil. Is not that a prayer we pray often? God, keep us from evil as well. Remember the proverb writer, Solomon, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, notice in verses 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 30, notice verse 7 through 9. It says, two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, or say, who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Keep me from evil. Just give me enough, Lord, to survive. I know the dangers of having too much, and I know the dangers of not having enough. Just give me enough to get by, Lord. Keep me from the evil. This was the same prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples before his crucifixion. In John chapter 17, as he was praying to his Father in heaven, he turns his attention now to his disciples, and he prays to God for them. And notice what he prays in John 17 and verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Jesus prayed this prayer for his disciples as well. Keep them from evil, Lord. Jabez knew the power of temptation can have on people and the influence of evil men upon him. Jabez asked for the help of God in these situations. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Peter writes, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Who doesn't need that blessing of God? He needed God's help. Jesus recognized this for his disciples as well. Keep me from evil. Jabez prayed to God to help him to be strong. And we see lastly that God answered his prayers. God blessed him in ways that he probably didn't even realize or understand that he did. Or wanting to do. His territory was enlarged. God would be with him to guide him and protect him as he lived this life and journeyed on towards his eternal home. And God would keep him from evil. Look how Jabez's life started out, but look how it ended up. It started out, he was giving pain to others, his mother in particular. So much that she named him Pain. The ridicule and the taunts that he must have faced all of his life because of it. He could have given up. He could have been of nothing, no account. But he ended up, you see, an honorable man, a righteous man before God. Of all the people in the Bible whom you wouldn't have given much chance to make anything of their lives, Jabez would have been at the top of my list. I would have been wrong. He rose from the depths of despair. His name was Cain. That's how people referred to him. But he became a great man in the eyes of God and man. You know, this story is not unique. There's all kinds of examples of people just like this all throughout the Bible. We may even know some people in our lives that have done this. Wouldn't think that their lives would have amounted to anything. But they became great in the eyes of God and great in the eyes of men with the help of God. Let me close this morning with a passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now to him that is able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. What can God do with your life? You're going to make excuses? "I had a bad childhood, Dad. My home life wasn't good. I had bad parents. They didn't set the proper example before me. I hung out with the wrong crowds. I got into a lot of trouble." No, with excuses. Any worse than Jabez? His own mother named him Cain. She wanted all the world to know how much pain he caused her. But it was not his fault. He did nothing to do with it. But nonetheless, he suffered his whole life because of it. He had to live with that name that his mother gave him. But despite all of that, he became an honorable and a righteous man with the help of God. What could God do with your life? Before he can do anything with it, you need to be a child of his. You need to be born again in the waters of baptism. Remove the sins of the past and wash yourself clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, who died to save you. Have you done that? If not, why not? Maybe you've already done that, but you've sinned in a way that has brought shame and reproach upon the church. And then you repent and ask forgiveness in a public manner. Will you come today as well? Make your life right with God today. This invitation is going out to everyone here this morning. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come and make your life right with God today as we stand and sing?